What is up, folks? Welcome to Inside the Game. I'm DJ Wheat, and joined, as always, by the three wonderful hosts here on ITG, VP Pain User, EG Idra, and EG In Control. And yes, I have noodled myself. That's how horrible I feel. But I can man up for 90 minutes to talk a little bit of StarCraft. And a lot of stuff going on right now, actually, with some news hitting today. And it's pretty much been the talk of the town. Before we get into that, guys, what's up? How's it going, Taylor? Start with
what's
you.
Up, what's up, man? Not much. IGN obviously made a pretty big announcement today, and that's kind of been the talk around here at the office, and a lot of people have been asking me about it.
Awesome.
So that's pretty much what's up today. And then obviously the EG news, everybody finally figured out what that was, if you couldn't guess it already. And
we'll be talking about that too.
A lot of stuff going on today, man.
Yeah. Idra, how's it going?
I've just been practicing trying to avoid people talking about the EG announcement.
Yeah, have you really?
Well, of course, because everyone just wants to know how if it's going to be like bad between me and Huck, so it's kind of annoying.
I would say I've read some pretty hilarious speculation and thoughts, and Jeff, you're shaking your head.
Well, it's just weird. Like, what team would ever recruit someone and then announce that they're living with someone if it wasn't okay that they live together?
Yeah.
Shit, we forgot they hate each other. Oh, no! Everything's ruined. Like, of course they're completely fine, you know?
It could turn out to be, like, the next ABC Family sitcom. Two StarCraft players that don't like each other at all because
men?
The internet says so. And yeah, it could be.
Maybe. Two and a Half Men Part 2.
1.25 men.
Yeah, I don't know what they equal to. It's certainly not. 1.75 men.
It would be a fractional amount, I do believe. There'd be a fraction there, indeed.
I don't know, man. Greg's getting bigger. He's giving Huck a run for his money.
Well, more importantly...
In what way was Huck ahead of me physically?
Yeah, I was just going to say, he's giving Huck a run for his money.
So there's going to be arm wrestling competitions as well. That's what I understand.
We already had one. That was the announcement picture.
That was actually like during the... Oh, I see. That's true. So guys, big shout out to our sponsor, SteelSeries and Six Pool Gaming. Yes, Jeff? What?
Ginger, how you doing? Greg, how are you doing?
Well, no, I Jeff, you shook your head. I kind of segued into you and... Fine.
I would like.
That was
I
a part
like
of Idra's. That was
like
that was part of Idra's. You're right. My bad. Blame.
I'll
the
tell
medication.
You what. I'll accept your apology if you show us real quick for like 5 seconds what you look like on webcam right now.
I don't have my. Oh well, I'll show you. I think
come
I can
on.
Show you guys. No, I don't have my camera on.
Your whole house is wired. We know it.
Bullshit.
Your whole house is wired.
I would, but no, I'm not gonna do it. I don't. It would totally fuck up the program. Like, I would have to move the Skype window.
I argue it greatly, but that's fine.
I'd have to... By the way, Jeff, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. Same as Greg, actually. Like, I want to be completely 100% enthused about Huck joining, and I mostly am, but it's kind of sad the way it's being received for some people. So, I mean, we'll talk about it when we get to it. But
yeah, we're definitely... I got some questions for you guys, you know.
I'm sure that
you know, the fans have some questions as well. So we'll go ahead and we'll start with the very, very light stuff that goes into the, you know, another hard-hitting announcement that was made today. And that, of course, being the IPL Season 2 Finals, which took place this weekend. And IPL Season 3 was announced with some pretty, like, crazy stuff behind it. So before we jump onto that and just completely derail the whole thing with that, Pain User, talk to me about the IPL Season 2 Finals.
All right, man. Season 2 Finals? Well, White Raw obviously came out on top pretty convincingly, too. And I wasn't expecting that at all. Nurchio had a really brilliant run throughout the whole tournament. Lost his first match, went down to the loser's bracket, won out all the way to the finals. Took out a lot of big name players too, so I thought that he was going to go all the way. But White Raw and his special tactics prepared well, won the day for him. I mean, he had really good builds and he executed them super, super well.
Was anyone super surprised with Nurcio's performance? I mean, throughout the whole competition.
I mean, yeah, absolutely. He was taken out. I mean, that was like his first. That was his first real coming out in any major tournament. So, you know, he put his name on the map for sure.
Coming.
What are you saying over there, Joe?
I'm just thinking of music, man.
That song.
Apparently, Nurcio is the. I heard this. Don't know if it's true. So take it for what it is. But I heard that Nurcio is the reason that Mauro actually plays TVZ.
Really?
Apparently, it's ZVZ is like just considered the most mind-bendingly invincible thing in Europe.
Interesting.
Yeah, he had really, really good ZVZ. I mean, he took Red out. I mean, he destroyed Red. So that was pretty impressive. He beat him handily in a series.
And I mean, yeah, he looked pretty impressive. That's interesting what you say, Jeff, about that concept. You know, we just saw Mauro mix it up a little bit versus Zerg as T in the Evil Geniuses Masters Cup. So, you know, players can do that to you, I suppose.
He's always done that, though. Moro's been a player that's been known to switch to T and back to Z, you know.
But Nurcio is the dude. He is the reason. That's what I think Jeff is saying.
All right. Fair enough.
Yeah, he is the dude. So IPL 2, I mean, throughout the whole thing, Idra, I know you were looking for another, hopefully, IPL championship, but didn't pull it off. Your final result was what?
I think tied for fifth or top six or something like that.
Idra definitely won the award for greatest BM of all time, though. That's for sure.
That was played pre-Infestor nerf, I think, or at least it was a couple months ago. Fucking silly. A pre-Infestor buff.
Yes.
For the damage to armored?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Do you dislike mana, though, or something, or is it just...
I remember him from StarCraft 1, so I know how little he deserves to win games.
Why?
He's just awful. Like, zero talent at all.
I mean, he seems to be doing pretty good lately.
It's pretty consistent.
Anyone can do good in StarCraft 2.
Okay. Well, that's what I tell Miniwheat Idra, so... Like,
that's what you tell him every night when you tuck him in with his MX518 and his Steel Series in hand.
Yep, just remember, Mini. Anyone can be good at...
He's like at the door with the light, like, Miniwheat, you rest your head and go to sleep tonight, buddy, and guess what? Idra on Inside the Game today said that anyone can be good at StarCraft 2, so if you dream it, you can do it. And then
exactly.
You turn off the light and, like, walk out.
And then he'll wake up and...
Daddy, I love you! Thanks for the wishes! And you, like, walked off, took your glass off, wiped it a little bit, and went, Miniwheat's gonna be okay.
Speaking of which, I did...
He's gonna be okay.
I did shed some tears today. Miniwheat started school, so shout out to Miniwheat in his first day of school. It was pretty...
We're inside the game right now. Give us Inside the Father.
Okay.
And not in the pornographic way, but what I do mean is, like, how come today's a sad day? Your son's starting school. He's going to be edumacated.
Well, right. It's like, it's not a sad. They weren't, like, tears of sadness. And in some cases, I guess you could say, but more or less, like, joy. There's a lot of different reasons as a father that you go, holy shit. Like, A, we did okay. He made it to 5 years old. We did something right. And, you know, like, when you become a parent, you think everything, you know, I read the books and I was on the internet and trying to figure it out. And I know this isn't StarCraft 2, but, you know, it's one of those things. It's no different than just being proud of him for riding a bike for the first time or whatever, you know, actually winning his first StarCraft 2 game, or, you know. And he's a pretty, like... he's a pretty independent little dude, so he didn't have any problem going. He came home, he was a chatterbox. It looks like he loved it, and it's just, you know, like, life achievement unlocked right
cool,
there,
man.
First day of school. So,
yeah,
there. That's Inside the Father, man. So,
thank you.
Let's a horrible segue into the announcement of IPL Season 3, but it works anyway, so we'll do it. IPL Season 3 announced today, Pain User.
Oh, it's on
with. Well, not only the $100,000 prize purse, but a 32-man bracket being held in...
There's all kinds of goodness.
Yeah, in Atlantic City. Talk to me. Talk to me more, because there was a qualifier just announced, etc.
Yeah, there's our first qualifier is actually this weekend. Signups have already started. It's ign.playhem.com/tourney/10401, and I can post that in Skype, and you can do whatever you want with it.
Playhem.
They're our partners for like qualifier brackets and all that kind of stuff. Playhem. PLAYHEM. And it's kind of like Zeke sort of deal. Like,
right.
You can do online qualifiers for events, all that kind of stuff. They also run tournaments. And I think they're doing a $1,000 tournament this Wednesday, Thursday as well. 1,000-man sign-up open tournament. So people should definitely check that out. But anyways, we're doing that. We have 8 invitees. 8 people are going to qualify through the online qualifiers. And then obviously we have our invitees, and there's a 256-man open bracket live at the venue, and 16 of those players qualify for the championship bracket, which is ultimately going to consist of 32 players. So we're not doing like the same format as MLG. It's not
right.
Gonna be like
that. Okay. So how I understand this is, if you're not already in the pre-qualified brackets, you will play, and this is over the course of 4 days, if I remember correctly.
Mm-hmm.
You will play in the 256-man bracket that will qualify for the remainder of spots in the 32-man bracket.
Yep.
Okay. I have a question regarding the previous winners of IPL. Do IPL Season 1 and IPL Season 2 winners get an auto berth into the competition?
The winners, yeah.
Yeah, so both winners will be there for sure.
Yes, sir. And I mean, I can't speak on other names or casters, but we're utilizing all of our previous relationships. I think that would answer a lot of questions. And then I think a lot of the people that you would expect to be there will be there. And then also we are 100% inviting Koreans. So there is no doubt about it. Koreans will be at the tournament. And some of people's favorite Koreans. So,
okay.
There you have it. Koreans will be there. You can stop asking on the forums, because I know a lot of people have been pretty concerned about that, whether or not we were going to use Koreans, if they're going to be there, and they will, in fact, be there. And more than likely, a few of them will be invitees as well.
Okay. Here's another question. And I mean, Indra and InControl, if you have some questions, you can feel free to throw them out there. But let me throw this other one at you. It's in a casino. It's in Caesars, it looks like, according to the hype video.
Caesar's Palace.
So it is automatically a 21 and over venue, I assume.
That is indeed true. That's something we weren't particularly happy about, but it's something that we're going to have to deal with just based on the selection of the venue and the rules that they have. And I think it's a state-specific rule, actually. If it had been in Vegas or something like that, it would be 18+, but as it stands, it's going to be 21+.
Okay. And, you know, also, there were like
unless you're a competitor, if you're participating in the tournament, you can be under 21. That's 100% okay.
With some sort of like consent.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't think it'll be anything crazy. You might need like a waiver from a parent or something like that. But
okay.
You might not even need that actually. There's some weird stipulation in the law, and that if you're a competitor in an event, or if you're participating in the event and you're considered talent, then you can be under 21.
Sure, that actually makes some sense to me. So, Indra and Jeff, what do you guys think of the recent announcement? Another live event to grace North American soil here. Either of you want to throw out a comment on this?
It's awesome. It's gigantic, and it's going to be at a relatively unique venue. We haven't had anything like it before, so the over 21 thing, hopefully it doesn't limit the viewership too much, but it should be a lot of fun. Really happy about it.
Well, even if it, I mean, it might, I don't even know that it would necessarily limit, like, there at the venue. I mean, I'm sure there would be some impact, but obviously the online viewership, there would be no restrictions beyond that. I was, wondering about players, but it sounds like that's kind of covered.
Yeah, that's covered. And even if the actual live viewership is cut into by the 21 plus, like this, the whole thing is just going to be so amazing and over the top. I mean, the venue is outstanding. It's a whole different format than anything you've seen before from any other tournament organization. It's going to be a legit full-on production with a full-on stage, something like you would see at an opera house or something like that. I mean, it's literally off the hook. And the online viewership obviously isn't going to be affected by that, so as long as the production's there, I don't really see a problem with it. It's definitely going to cut into the live viewership, though, but that's something we're willing to deal with just based on our relationship with Caesars and the way everything worked out. I mean, it's a loss we can take, so.
Jeff?
I mean, it's another big event, which just at the forefront, I hope, and I'm sure everyone will, just welcome with opening arms. Like, it's just another opportunity for another organization to wow us and to really help StarCraft II grow. And for that and that alone, I'm absolutely enthused and excited. My same kind of stuff with IGN still exists. Like, I'm optimistic, and I want it to move onward and upward. But they need to toot their own horn a little bit. They just need to make it more exciting. Like, to be honest, this was leaked information, and then we got a picture of some hairy arm saying there's going to be an announcement in 1 hour.
there was an announcement. Like,
and it's the same day as something that was getting hyped up for a week. You know, so it's kind of, there's still a few missteps here, and I hate to be critical, because obviously I made my own mess-ups with hype. I overhyped something, right? So, I mean, there's definitely a bunch of people that need to figure stuff out, myself included. But I'm not going to stop being critical of IGN, because my hopes and my optimism for IGN is really high. If I didn't think they couldn't do it, then what would be the point in me saying I hope they do it, right? It would be stupid of me to do that, so... hopefully they churn that hype wheel. They bring out a million people. I hope a fucking million people watch that thing. I hope 5,000 people try to watch and they have to turn away a whole bunch. You know, 20,000 people want to be there. Like, I want this to be the biggest thing ever. So I really hope IGN delivers.
And to that, and I know I've made comment about this before, that I do appreciate the fact that IPL went for a solid completion of two seasons, and now are doing this third event. You know, like, it's always going to be one of those scary moments when someone comes out of nowhere and is like, oh my God, we're going to have this huge event. But one thing IGN did do with IPL since January of this year is really establish themselves at least an organization that is really trying to benefit and promote the whole concept of professional gaming with StarCraft II. So I'm excited to see what will come out of this. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, I mean, we were just testing the waters and seeing if the numbers were there and the viewership were there, and they are both there. So, you know, we got word from up top, the prize money's on lock, the venue's on lock, and we're going to make it happen. So, and that is 100% what pretty much everybody here is trying to do. Everybody is 100% down with the esports movement. Everybody wants to make esports and pro gaming like a legit profession, and, you know, doing $100,000 events on a regular basis is certainly a good way to do that. So
does $100,000 mean, and if you can't disclose the details, I understand, I'm just speculating here, the $100,000 may trickle down to all 32 players?
Yes.
It says that 17 through 32 is $1,000.
Oh, where is this?
There's a thread on it that breaks down the prizes and stuff on Team Liquid. It's a great prize structure. It's 25,000 or 30,000 for first, and then 12 for second, and that's a little bit more than 50%. But I think the fact that everyone's getting paid out through the top 32, and it's a pretty healthy disparity, or not necessarily disparity, but ratio between second and 32. I think that's pretty cool. A lot of people would have to travel to get there. Atlantic City's not the hub of StarCraft II, so to be guaranteed a prize pool, that's pretty cool. A portion of the prize pool, rather.
I agree.
Fantastic.
It's definitely better to have it broken down like that. And, you know,
they're paying for a lot of travel, too. I don't mean to discredit them. They actually
said
all the top two qualifiers. So 8 people will get paid, and then the invites, I think.
Yeah, the invites are paid as well.
There you go.
100%.
Pretty much everyone, except for the people in the open bracket from the tournament, I guess.
And the thing with the prize distribution, with IPL2, our breakdown was much less top-heavy. 15, then 10. But this time, you know, we want to create a lot more hype centered around that final game. and I think that's something necessary. You mentioned a little bit over 50%. We think it's just about perfect right there. And seeing as how the prize pool is big enough that everybody will get a little bit of a piece of the pie, and that finals match will be so important, is perfect.
It's a pretty damn good prize breakdown. Certainly it'll bring out the competition. Other organizations will take note. And I assume with the success of one event could come more.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. This is a trial event for us, just like IPL 1 and 2. We're getting our foot in the online avenue and checking that out and seeing if the viewership was there. This is our first delving into the LAN venue. And, you know, hopefully if we do it right and we execute it the way that we think we will, then it's going to be a success. And if it is a success and, you know, we come out on top, then there's going to be many more in the future. So,
any nervousness to throwing such a big event, especially off your guys' home soil?
Of course. Absolutely. Especially since, you know, we don't have as serious of a track record doing LAN events as other organizations. They've obviously hit and missed in a lot of certain different areas, but you know, we can kind of use what they've done and look at that and see where other organizations have messed up. So we have a really good template for what not to do. And then as far as what you can do right in online venues, I think a lot of that is still being explored. And I think a lot of the organizations are trying different things that are working out really well.
Yeah, absolutely.
And yeah, so, I mean, hopefully we're gonna do some stuff right.
That's a hard balance to hit. Definitely a hard balance to hit. And for another discussion. So I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're just going to take a quick break, and when we come back, then we're going to shift our topics over to Huck from Liquid to EG, which will also take us into the topic of IDRA. Once again, returning to Korea. Of course, lots of questions for you guys regarding that. So the moment we return, those will be our topics coming up here in just a moment. Guys, thanks for joining us on Inside the Game, and we're back. It's Huck from Liquid to EG. Don't go away. We are back. Oh, were you talking about some top secret stuff right there, Jeff, that I just
always
came in right as you were? Okay, well, I'm going to make you tell me what it is, kind of like a teacher saying, hey, I saw that note you just passed to Idra.
You can't read it in front of the whole class.
I'm going to read it. See Axlav chilling in the background. Someone, actually, before we go into the Huck from Liquid to EG, of course, Gamescom is this weekend. It's bringing a lot of competitions that many people are going to be watching. over the course of the weekend. You know, Dota did announce that $1 million. Are you guys like interested at all to at least like check out the
stream? Oh, I am, for sure. I played competitive on for a while. Well, not like top tier, but I was like 1750 for a while.
Idra,
which is like pretty good.
Idra or Jeff?
I've never played any games besides StarCraft. I know nothing about it.
Han's supposed to be like the StarCraft of the whatever the hell that genre is called.
The MOBA.
The MOBA.
Okay. Any someone was asking in chat. I'll definitely be at least checking it out. Someone leaked a screenshot, and it honestly looks like League of Legends and Han kind of merged into one game. So I'm really curious to see how it'll pan out. And $1 million is on the line, so can't really haw at that at all. But the other big news item that was released today, of course, I don't know how you could be possibly watching this show and not have had some exposure to the massive announcement that or the countdown that took place over the last few days. But Huck leaves Team Liquid and joins up with EG. I would love to go to both Idra and Jeff, not necessarily at the same time, to just hear your thoughts about it. I mean, I know a lot of fans are tuned in. They want to hear what you have to say about it. It's your opportunity to dispel any speculation that is out there. So who wants to start?
I guess I will. I mean, it's a fantastically good announcement for EG. He is a superstar. There's just no doubt about it. That's a big part of the reason why so many people are sad for Team Liquid. It's because it's not that he's just a good player. It's that he represents more than just a player. He's a lot of people's favorite. He's a character. He's a personality. He's done fantastic things in the game competitively. And he's a hoot to follow. He's a really funny guy. He's not afraid to, you know, stand up and back down, all that good stuff. So it's really good for us. It helps build our label, and we're really excited about it. I've been on friendly terms with Huck for a long time now. We've been teasing each other and hanging out. I actually spend some time with him in Korea. I see him at LANs all the time. We always interact, and now I get to call him teammate, and I'm really excited about that. So that's all like the really, really cool and good stuff. I mean, selfishly, I'm happy too, because he's a fantastic Protoss player, and I've always thought his PvP was damn near unbeatable, and PvP is certainly my worst matchup, so hopefully after MLG, when he might kick my ass, he can help me learn to not get my ass kicked, so that'll be a really good thing for me as well, and just really excited about it overall.
I mean, certainly a lot of people just consider when they see so-and-so joins this team, they sort of like think about it on the surface, what it kind of means to them as a spectator. But certainly with any player that joins up, especially whether it be EG in this case, I'm confident that you guys are thinking, oh my God, this means I'm going to get this type of practice with this individual. And that's going to be really beneficial to, you know, my game. Is that accurate?
Yeah. I mean, it's just every time, like even with Puma, who just joined our team as well, it's not as publicized, but he's been training with us on various nights. He's made appearances more prompt than I ever thought possible in all these clan wars. So it's like when we sign these superstar players, we all benefit from it directly as players, but also as an organization. So there's no question why a team as ambitious as Evil Geniuses is going out and talking to people who are coming to the tail end of their contracts. So it helps everybody from the littlest guy to the biggest guy. I mean, let's look at Huck as well. He gets the benefit of training with alongside Puma on extended leave or extended stay, and Idra and the rest of us, the Muslim, has one of the best TVPs outside of Korea that I've certainly seen. So a lot of people are going to get better, and I think Huck could get better too.
Idra?
Yeah, obviously it's a great pickup for us. He's become a really accomplished good player. He won two major tournaments back-to-back not too long ago. It's something I don't think anyone else has ever done. Well, except for Nesty. And like people speculate about us not getting along personally. I mean, our egos clash within the game, certainly, but outside of that, we get along quite well. I, obviously, like Jeff said before, EG is not going to acquire him and announce plans for me to go to Korea and have us live together if we're not perfectly fine with it. That's just stupid. So no, overall, in every aspect, it's a really good pickup for us.
All right,
it's a little bit different than some choice words you had about Huck's play.
freestyle.
That was a while ago. He has improved.
All right.
Danny, are you suggesting Greg might be wrong?
No, I would never
you
say that.
You be careful, man.
Well, Pain User is a third party. What are your thoughts on it?
I mean, I believe everything he just said. It's just very different than what he was saying when Huck was on his way up. Now that Huck's there, I think there's no question that he's a fantastic player. That's really all I was saying there.
But I meant about the announcement in general.
Oh, I think it's awesome for Team EG. They couldn't have made a better pickup if they tried. You know, it doesn't really matter what the cost associated was with picking him up. He's going to benefit all their Protoss players. He's going to win them future tournaments. And he's a super dedicated player that puts a lot of time and effort into StarCraft 2, as is Greg. So now they have two players like that that are all-star players that get a lot done and have great work ethic. And everyone else on the team is right there. They just haven't taken it to that level yet. So having two players like that will really help everyone else on the team get to that level. So, yeah, it just benefits everybody all around. And I don't see any problem with it whatsoever. Now, the whole moving to Korea thing...
Yeah, I want to... hold on. I have a few more questions before we actually get into that with Idra. I want to talk specifically about, you know, some of the reaction. Because I'll just really quickly, to try to save my voice as much as I can, just, you know, to me, this is truly kind of an amazing thing. Because we've seen this type of thing happen in other games before. But I'm not quite sure that there was ever this type of... I mean, to use the word that's been thrown around, hype, about one particular player joining a team. And it has a lot to do with, of course, some in-game rivalries. It has a lot to do with the fact that it seems like one of those things that could never happen in a million years. It's dividing by zero. But at the same time, it really, for all those people that are like, yo, you can't call esports what esports because it's not a sport. And I sit here and I go, fuck, man. This looks like a goddamn sport to me, you know?
Oh, they're just idiots, sweet.
I really think it speaks volumes to sort of the growth, to the opportunities that are going to continue to be presented to the players out there. And, you know, so to those that have kind of criticized it, you know, I would look at it from a more macro perspective rather than, you know, parties involved, and because I know there's some emotion in it. And I want to ask you about that, Jeff, because I feel like you'll be no fluff with me. You know, I took it from your reaction earlier that you weren't completely thrilled with some of the responses that came out from this.
You know, if we're going to be completely candid, I think this is the proper place to do it. It's something that definitely takes a lot of introspective look for me personally. I know I'm one of the more outspoken members of this community, so a lot of people hear me say one thing and then later I say another, and you know, they like to paint me as some kind of two-faced guy in that regard. So I'm trying to be much more careful with my words these days, because I genuinely feel that what I express is my honest opinion, but if later I want to go back on it or something like that, people are less forgiving. So in this situation, I am thoroughly excited for EG. This is my team. Part of the reason people have heard me talk about EG in the past and why I'm so happy with them is I really feel like this is the kind of organization I want to be a part of. We have a uniform. We have a dress code. We care about our conduct at LANs. We can't just get drunk and walk around and be an idiot. When we train, it's because we're being paid to train. We're not doing it because, you know, it's just fun and it's something that we can get away with. So when our organization learns from dealing with the community in the past, like with Puma, and takes all the proper steps for Huck. I mean, they talked to Team Liquid first before Huck's contract was up. They respected their right to say, sure, you can talk to him about that, and they went about it very carefully. It just saddens me a little bit that there's still so many people that are taking this time to be like, I mean, they're not even just souring on the deal. They're talking about how, like, they're taking it as an opportunity to take jabs at me personally and my success in this game, and there's just a lot of negativity, and it seems to surface at every single juncture that happens, and this just happens to be the Huck transition. And it saddens me, because I've actually lived through the Brood War days when players would go to a new team, and it was like this amazing, glorious elevation of a player. Everyone was like really excited and happy. There was still some sadness, but it never turned into like hating on the new teammates, you know? And there's just a little bit more of that. And I understand why it happens. I know that. It's because this game is now reaching millions more than Brood War ever did. And you're going to hear more vocal negativity than you are positivity the more people that watch and listen to a game.
Sure.
That's just the way it works. So on a regular basis I have to go through this and just kind of roll back what I see and put it through the washer. So today's kind of a heavy day for me. Like, I'm on the one hand extremely excited, but on the other day I'm getting emails and messages. And I mean, you can look at the chat too. There's people like, In Control's success? He has none. He's fucking terrible. And it's like, it sucks because we're all trying to be the best we can. And I don't understand, like,
well, obviously, Jeff, weird. You guys moved into a house, like, that should have automatically made you 50 times better. So, I mean, there's magic cast upon the house. Idra, you're supposed to be better. I mean, you guys are obviously doing it wrong. What, it's only been 2 weeks now? No, but seriously, that's how I look at it. I mean, you guys are all working towards a common goal in that regard. And people like to think and talk in the now. And I think that's what we get a lot of, or we saw a lot of for this announcement in particular.
Yeah. I mean, and again, I understand. Like the nice thing about this is following this, I'm going to get 20 more messages from people saying, keep your chin up, you know, you're a great guy, and we care about you. And I know that. It's nice. And I appreciate those words, too. I'm not trying to, like, throw them out the window. But it's just, it sucks that a day like this gets soured because so many people have such venomous, mean things to say. And again, not even about me personally. They're calling Huck a sellout and stuff. Like, let's look at it in earnest, what happened. A guy had his contract coming to an end. He did so damn well that other organizations were interested in bidding for him. And this is common practice. Sen was approached by not just one or two teams, a ton of teams. Nanewa reached out to teams because he knew he was doing well and wanted to get paid for it. This happens on a daily basis with all the top players. And, you know, Huck accepted the opportunity. The team was respectful of the team that he was on. Everything was okay. But people, I mean, and again, I know I'm focusing on the negativity right now because I'm being asked about it. So don't think that this is, like, souring the whole thing for me. I'm very much so excited about it. But if we're being earnest and candid, look through those threads. Look at the attitude of this community. It's kind of tough. It's tough for people who are on the inside and at the front end of this from time to time.
There's and granted, this is different, but I'm going to try to draw at least somewhat of a parallel here. You know, player on NFL team X is traded to NFL team Y, who happens to be the rival of NFL team X, and fans are, you know, fuck that guy and screw that and all that, you know, won't root for them. I'm still Team X all the way and stuff. I mean, I know that our community is much more personal. So, you know, when superstar player X, right, when he might not necessarily see some of the shit that the fans are saying. And at the same time, and I play devil's advocate, and I've been in your shoes before, so I certainly understand. But at the same time, play devil's advocate, isn't it kind of awesome at the same time to, like,
absolutely,
see, absolutely, sort of sides being drawn and this, or guys that are saying, you know what, whether it's Liquid or EG, I've been a Huck fan, and sort of showing their allegiance to players. Like, it kind of speaks volumes to the growth. Not taking away the fact that I think it's wrong.
In order for me to actually answer this question, I would need like 4 hours, because you're absolutely right.
Fair enough.
To address that. You can compare this to the fervor of the NFL and the fans. You're absolutely right. If people didn't care, if people weren't upset, if there weren't some guy who took it upon themselves to write a hate mail to someone because they felt that strongly about it, then we wouldn't be as far as we are. And that's absolutely true, and that bears mentioning. If people did not care that much, then Huck would be signing for $300 a month as opposed to what he's getting.
Yeah.
And that's the bottom line. So I do recognize that, and I do understand that. And again, I know that one of my problems is I do give the negative feedback too much attention. And some people ignore it outright. Some people don't go near it at all, so they're able to go through it. My mentality, my mindset is I want to be in tune with the community, and I want to know what they're thinking. And if I'm honest with them, then hopefully they'll respect me for that, and perhaps it'll change for the better good. And, you know, I fuck up, obviously, and I'm trying to do better by that, but it's days like this where I find myself pretty bogged down because I'm like, fuck, I should be really excited, and I don't know that I completely am.
I totally agree with you there, but you can't be legitimately surprised by it. I mean, especially with that, like,
where
heartfelt...
Where did you hear me say I was surprised at all?
It just sounds like you're surprised by it.
No. I don't understand that at all.
It just gets to you more? Is that...
Absolutely. Like, it would have to. I'm doing this day in, day out. I'm not surprised.
And
like,
in all fairness to Jeff, like, people spit some pretty nasty shit, man. And it's the internet, and it is the internet, you know. But the bottom line is, when we're in such a very personal and interactive community, it's not like in control is Brad Pitt, and every time someone talks shit about him on TMZ, he's never going to see it, you know. It is like any time... someone says anything, I guarantee you there's guys that are messaging Greg and In Control going, oh my God, did you see what so-and-so said about you here? It's like, you know, so they spit some nasty shit. And when I say they, I'm making a broad generalization because there were tons of people that were very supportive of both sides that showed sympathy on one side and appreciation on the other. There were a lot of people that were focusing on one of the most important aspects as far as I'm concerned, and that is that Huck as a player is looking out for himself, number one, and hopefully that will, you know, blossom into that team dynamic that you guys already have. But I just can't believe that people don't at least stop for a second and go, well, you know what? Huck's been trying to do this, and he's getting the opportunity.
Yep, and I don't want to turn this into like too much of a sad thing, because it's really not. Like, I just wanted to vocalize that as exciting and as happy as this is, I really do think we should draw some attention, not all of it, I don't want, not even most of it. Honestly, it's not that big of a deal, but we need this community to self-moderate sometimes. Like, when someone says something really venomous and stupid, tell them to shut the fuck up and be like, come on, just be happy for one day, you know? And when the community starts to do that, that's when things turn into like, this event's announced, and everyone's fucking excited, and I'm going to go support that because I don't know. I'm going to get myself into trouble if I go too far on that. But I'm just trying to say, like,
I hear
there's
you,
some negative. It sucks, yeah, but there's mostly positive, and let's get to that. I mean, that's actually the bigger deal, in my opinion.
Fair enough. Okay. Yeah, let's actually talk, as we've had Greg a little quiet. If you guys didn't know, he's actually IMing with Huck right now. But seriously, so there's been some news additionally to the announcement. By the way, I did love the picture that was taken for the page, and I actually didn't show that, and I should, because it's a pretty classic picture. So hats off to whoever put that together. It's pretty nice. But you also are making a return to Korea. But I've got to, I mean, is it for moving there or visiting or what? Give me the breakdown.
Okay, well, yeah, it's been something we've been thinking about for a while, just going back to Korea, mainly for practice purposes, also to play in GSL, especially with this exchange program. I've gotten Cody invites for all the MLGs so far, just turned them down because the time wasn't right. But it's definitely been something we've been considering. Unfortunately, everyone did kind of misinterpret the wording of the post a little bit, or it was a little bit ambiguous on our part. What was meant by that was the practice facility for EG will be open in Korea come October, and Puma and Huck will probably be there immediately. I won't be coming in October, in all likelihood, but I will be going before the end of this year, and okay. I'll be staying there. We're not sure how long yet. It'll be 1 month, 2 months. I'm not moving back permanently, but it's also going to be enough time to matter. So, mainly for the practice, also compete in GSL, just see how that all goes. And you'll have me and Huck Puma all practicing there together. Possibly some of our other members if they want to go out, if that's what seems to be a good idea. But on the other side, we do just have this awesome house that we just opened up. And people shouldn't really like detract from that just because some of us are also going to create a boot camp. This is still a pretty big focus for EG, and there's going to be a lot of good stuff coming out of here, too.
Well, and from what I understood, even the thought of during North American events or periods of these events, that obviously the training house would continue to be a crucial part, just in part that it was even said that, like, Huck and Puma would come and play with you guys there.
Yeah, they will
be. In preparation for events, right.
Yeah.
One of the other things I wanted to say was when you were giving your explanation, Craig, you definitely sound like this is something that you've at least been thinking about, talking about. I know that we've actually talked a little bit about if you'd ever want to return to Korea, and we had a big shift. Like, we had a pretty big change at the beginning of this year. A lot of stuff going on, MLG blowing up, a lot of stuff on North American soil, Europe as well. Korea, I'm not even going to say, like, tapered off, but I think some of that initial, like, oh, my God, we've all got to go to Korea if we want to be the ultimate Gosu best, that's kind of tapered off a little bit. So, what is your sort of motivation behind wanting to go back to Korea?
Well, to be the best, you have to practice in Korea. Just without being able to play cross-server, by far the biggest concentration of really good players is in Korea. There's no comparable practice. Even with a team house like this, it's just nothing compared to the quantity that the Korean players have. Just the amount of good players are there, the diversity of styles and stuff you can get, the talent pool they have to draw from. It's just you have to be in Korea practicing if you want to be the best. I do believe that in terms of tournaments, it's still best to be outside Korea. GSL is just so time-intensive that it gets in the way of a bunch of other stuff, and that's one of the reasons why I'm not going out until later on, just because it would interfere with a bunch of big events that I want to be a part of, and that's a big part of why I moved out here to begin with. So it's kind of a hard decision to make, but if you want to be the best, you do have to practice in Korea, and I think that was probably the main driving force for me to go back.
So has this been something that you've kind of been toying with for quite a while?
Yeah, it's been on my mind for a while.
Okay. And so, don't have an exact date. At this point, kind of visiting. It sounds like there'll be some sort of facility in which players will be able to practice and work on that. And then, real quickly, just so I understand, does that mean when you decide to go over that you've automatically got your Code A spot? Or a Code A spot from MLG, or how does it work?
It depends on when I go. I have one. I was top 3 foreigners, I think, and Huck already has a spot from the last event, from Anaheim. So if I were go in time to take that, then I would have a Code A spot. If I go after that expires, then I would have to place well enough at Raleigh to get a Code A spot or be given one specially by GSL. That's not set up yet, and we won't know until I know when I'm going to go.
As someone who, left Korea, obviously you were playing in Code S, and I remember the... the departure video, the Idra video that, of course, we could probably also play at your funeral, which was quite touching. But do you think that there's a possibility that they could say, you know, Idra left this as Code S? Or do you think that already the tournament has expanded out so much that that wouldn't necessarily be a kosher thing to have happen?
I can't imagine them doing that, and it wouldn't really be fair to everyone else just because it is such a different tournament at this point. I don't see that happening, and I wouldn't ask for it. I would expect to go in with a Code A spot. I think that's what will end up happening.
All right. In control, you know, Idra going over to Korea, kind of holding it down a little bit. What are your thoughts on how things are shaping up?
Korea is hands down the place that you must go if you want to compete at the highest level of StarCraft II. The house in Arizona is certainly the best thing you can do outside of Korea, but there's always going to be that condition. So the fact that EG is in a place where they can say, okay, we're going to support Puma and Huck in Korea, and then we're going to open up a training facility that, obviously, that's the first place Idra's going to go when we're able to have that access. And then it's the kind of place where if one of the guys in Arizona is doing well enough and they can be rewarded for it, they can go there as well to train. That's just really freaking awesome. That's really cool. And it's kind of funny sitting on the show with Idra, Huck, and, you know, a lot of people call it the EG show anyways, but it's hard for me to take my fanboy hat off. I'm just really happy with this organization's doing for esports, and I think the Korea situation is just another sign that things are going really well, and especially for EG.
Great. Taylor, you've been kind of quiet over there. I mean, Greg's going to be pretty far away from you. No more hugs for a little while.
How I will miss him. But I think it's good for Greg. That's where he became the player that he is today. And that's where you had a lot of success, especially in GSL. So, you know, why not get back out there and test your mettle and kick some ass and train with Koreans? I mean, like, nothing bad's going to come out of it. Only good things are going to come out of it. So best of luck to you, Greg, and I hope you do really well.
Thank you.
I have one other question, Idra. In regards to, say, how your practice and how your environment was when you were first out in Korea. Do you think you're going to have a much better foundation for being able to, I guess, maximize your time while over there?
Oh, certainly. While I was in Korea, it was 99% ladder practice because at that point the game was still really young. You had new strategies coming out every few days, and teams were generally pretty secretive about their practice. They did mostly in-house, and when they did play on ladder, it wasn't serious practice. It wasn't that informative to watch. So, yeah, my practice there, even though I was playing more and it was against better players, it wasn't nearly as efficient as it could be. Being there with players like Puma and Huck and then all the other foreigners over there as well, Nanuah, Thorzane, I imagine everyone will practice together, plus whatever Koreans we have access to, it'll certainly be a lot more productive than my time was even when I was there before.
Okay, that's good to know, because I know that you were, you know, one of the few guys out there. You were on a team, but there wasn't necessarily established team house,
What kind of practice did you get while you were out there before? Like, what were your main avenues of practice?
Like I said, it was just 99% Korean ladder. Just otherwise, a couple of friends who were on bad, like Korean friends who were on bad teams themselves and needed additional practice.
Huh. Cool.
Is that good, Taylor?
This is good.
Any final comments on this or the EG to Huck? I mean, congratulations to Chris. Congratulations to you guys. You know, my opinions are pretty simple. Like, I've always been a Huck fan. Liquid, EG, wherever. I think he's a guy that's brought a lot to the game, helping advance its popularity and obviously proving himself as a player as well. And, so I wish him and you guys the best of luck in that. I think it's fantastic.
He helps the team out in other ways, too, like, Greg and Bryce will no longer be so short.
It's very good team, for you. Unfortunately, he has brought down our average team height even more. So
with Huck on the team, it's now him that's the midget. So
yeah, which I heard for the proposed MLG team leagues, there is going to be, if you're tied in games, they go to your average team height to determine the winner. So guys,
that's why we got Ben, though. So.
It's like tonight.
Oh, shit. All right. Well, I'll tell you what. I know there's a lot of people have a lot of questions. So what I would like to do is we're going to take our quick little break. And when we come back, I'd like to open up the phone lines, talk about IPL, talk about Huck to EG, talk about Idra going to Korea or whatever. 30 minutes of your opportunity. These guys don't give up that opportunity too often to be able to chit-chat with them one-on-one. Just ask that you keep it to one question, short and sweet, and that you mute your Skype, right, in control? Mute that Skype. All right, guys, we'll be back as soon as we're done with our break. It is phone calls here on Inside the Game. Don't go away. All right, guys, we're going to go ahead and open up the phone lines now and give you guys the opportunity to call in and ask any of these fine gentlemen questions regarding some of the topics tonight, or you just might have another question anyway. Short and sweet, mute your Skype. We'll take our first caller. We have got area code. No, we don't. Starting off good. We have got area code 510 on the line. Welcome to Inside the Game. Hello.
That's local to me.
Hey, my name's Fear Dragon. I have a question for pain user and in control.
Okay.
And this is regarding the recent PVT 111 build that's been showing up everywhere.
Okay.
So I'm a Protoss player, and I'm having a lot of trouble holding this off. Just yesterday, I kind of went on tilt, losing like 12 games in a row.
And so what exactly? Would you like in control's thoughts, since he's Protoss? I'm going to say that's a yes, probably.
Sure. You know, fantastic question. We're having a lot of trouble with it right now. If you look no further than GSL, who is the Protoss I'm thinking of? I think it was it Tassadar? Or one of them actually went up 1-0 and then fell 1-2 after 2-1 base all-ins. And he just seemingly had no answer for it. And I got to say, first and foremost, the build itself is difficult. But it's not necessarily the build that's so hard about it. It's that the metagame right now has become rigid in Terrans are extremely aggressive in their macroeconomic play. And in relation to that, Protosses have to be aggressive in their macroeconomic play. So if you take any kind of fast expansion, and they're just doing a one base, and they're building up their entire... They're funneling all their economy towards coming after you and killing you, and you've spent somewhere around... You know, 1,200 minerals on extra probes and Exodus, several pylons, maybe even a geyser or two. The chances of you holding that off are significantly reduced because it comes at a time, too, where the expansion doesn't benefit your defense of that attack. So we just have to kind of understand there's certain indicators that lead to that happening more. If it's a smaller map, oftentimes that 1-1-1 is going to happen because the distances between the two mains are shorter. So the time between you know it coming and it coming is reduced, so your reaction is hampered that way. So you just need to be more wary. Open up with more robo builds, perhaps mix in a Stargate build, but not necessarily Void Ray. Go Phoenix instead, shuts down the Banshee, but also gives you early information that the 1-1-1's coming, so you can get the charge slots faster, that kind of stuff. And then for right now, in terms of the metagame with PBT, you're going to have to shift to more one-base aggressive builds. So Void Ray openings, Robo 3-gate kind of stuff, the stuff that we used to do 2 or 3 months ago and have faded away from, we have to bring it back, and then Terrans will stop doing the 1-1-1.
What's your thoughts on it, pain user? Are you using it, abusing it?
I'll abuse it every now and then on a map like Zelnaga, or if I get like a really close spawn position, for sure. It can just be a really quick win if they're not prepared for it, but if they scout it early, like In Control was saying, Phoenixes are a really good way to get a heads up and scouted early on, and then Phoenixes also fill two roles. They kill the Banshees, and then they can lift tanks, so that's really nice to have, and also just a lot of Zealots and Sentries. I don't think you necessarily have enough time to get charge out, but...
You probably won't.
Yeah, but if you
Sometimes they slow down and do like a mega one base all-in.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to say. Slowing the Terran down is super important. Like, if you can engage them or feign and engage a few times in the middle of the map and try and like split the Terran army in half with force fields and catch them as they're moving across the map. Because when Terran does that, all I'm looking to do is to get outside your natural, find a sweet spot, siege up, and just like slowly creep my way into your natural. So do anything that you can to prevent him from getting to that sweet spot and try and engage him out in the midfield with Zealots and Sentries. That's when I lose, that's what people do to me.
All right, let's go ahead and take the next caller. We've got Chris on the line. Chris, welcome to Inside the Game. What's up?
Hey, what's up?
How's it going?
I just want to say that I love you, Pain User. Goodbye. I love you all.
Okay.
Right on.
Man, Pain User, how much did you pay that guy?
Nothing, dude. The last guy who called
was... Out of blue. Thanks, dude.
The last guy who called me was local, actually. 510.
See,
like,
what are you putting up flyers around that place?
One city over for me.
All right, let's take this call. I took this because it was only appropriate. We've got Taylor on the line. Taylor, welcome to Inside the Game.
How's it going?
It's going good, man.
Hey, I just have a question for Idra and then a question for everyone. Just, like, how do you think you're going to do over in Korea when you start playing against the Koreans in GSL?
I have no reason to think that I won't do well. Like I said, I didn't have very good practice compared to them back while I was in Korea. It'll be significantly better this time around. I expect to do quite well.
Cool. And then I'm a diamond level player. I have a hard time staying motivated, staying like
Taylor,
just on
hold
the
on,
grind.
Hold on 1 second. Why'd you have to say it like I'm a diamond level player? You should be proud, man. Wear
no,
that
no,
badge.
No, I'm not. Dude, I started at silver when this game came out.
Good
so
for
I've,
you, man.
I've progressed.
Okay.
So I feel good about it. But I was just saying, I have a hard time like staying motivated and staying on that grind. Like, I lose a couple games and I just want to get off. Like, how do you guys get past that?
Eventually, you just don't care.
Yeah,
you're just trying to get better. And honestly, it also for me, it kind of depends on how I lose. If I get cheesed like 3 or 4 games in a row, I'll rage and I'll stop playing. But if I lose straight up, it's whatever. It's a learning experience. It's really not that bad. But even like eventually, after you've been cheesed enough times, you just kind of get over it. You know that it's part of growing and getting better as a player. You're going to lose no matter what. So.
You potentially learn more from your losses than your wins, too.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Honestly, I have a lot harder time keep practicing if I'm winning a lot just because it gets boring and doesn't feel like anything's happening. But if you lose, that's what motivates me.
All right, cool. Thanks.
There you go.
Keep your head up and control your rock.
Thank you, Taylor. Appreciate it. And actually, that's some good words of wisdom that I kind of like that you said that, Idra, that, you know, frankly, it's almost gets boring when you win too much. Of course, I don't have that problem, but I could see how, you know, you kind of want to, what beats this? Let me figure it out. Let me advance and make myself better that way. So like it. Let's take this call right here. We've got Jacob on the line. Jacob, what's up?
Hey, where is, this is for Idra and In Control.
Okay.
I'm wondering where Huck will be training, like, as of when he gets back from IEM.
EG's taking care of that. I don't actually know myself, but obviously EG's going to take care of him.
Okay.
Yeah, I wish I could answer for you, man. I don't know.
Jacob's looking for an exact address, guys, and you are not delivering. he's just going to send cookies, man. He's not going to go visit. No,
I'm not sure when he gets back from IEM, but if it's... I mean, the bottom line is I don't believe he's flying from Korea to MLG. He'll be flying from IEM to the United States.
No, he qualified for the next round of GSL, so he has to go back in between now.
Really?
Yeah, it's going to suck
in between.
Out.
That's he's like 7 days. Well, shit. There you have it. I don't know.
All right. Well, so it sounds like, Jacob, they don't know. So thanks for your call.
All right.
Peace.
Thanks.
All right. Jacob. Go, Jacob. All right, let's take this one. We've got Slasher on the line. Not Slasher, but Slasher.
They're like the
Z.
same thing, though, right, as far as I understand.
I don't know. What's
up,
Slasher?
I just wanted to ask, since the chat's been asking, and I was really curious when it happened, was it yesterday or 2 days ago that it was announced that Adrian wasn't going to be going to Gamescom
Yeah, or you're kind of breaking up a little bit, Slasher, but I think the question was, Idra, you going to IEM, the Gamescom event, and you're not going, right?
Right. Yeah, I just can't make it to this event. I'll be going to future IEMs.
Okay. All right. That's all I wanted to ask. Thanks for taking the call.
Of course. Peace. So hopefully that clears things up. Take another one. We've got Adam on the line. Adam, welcome to Inside the Game.
Hi, Marcus. Just 1 second. Here we go. What my question is for Pain User, Idra, In Control and yourself, is with the latest announcements through everyone else, we've got the $5 million tournament, which was announced for Season 2, I think it was. I've forgotten the game. I've been researching
League of Legends.
A lot.
League of Legends.
Yes. Yeah, that's it. And then the $1 million prize pool for Dota 2 and stuff like that. And then we've got all of this stuff coming up with tons of cash coming into the community. Do you not think that with this big influx of cash and developers getting behind the game, do you not think that this is going to expand the bubble, as per se, massively, and then it won't be able to support itself as esports in a way, not StarCraft 2 in a way, because we've got about 4 to 8 years of development with the next two games, but for esports as a general kind of thing, the bubble's going to expand and then contract and then maybe burst.
I think the bubble will expand, like you say, but you know, one thing that I would definitely comment on as far as the as far as these big prizes are concerned is the big prizes for the most part are they're kind of like inflated. Like if anyone thinks that we're going to continue to see $1 million tournaments over and over, I'm not sure that I would have full confidence in that.
Yeah, exactly. It's not sustainable as a model, I think, because if you keep on having these like $1 million tournaments and stuff like that, it's just going to be like you'll have the giants, as per se, like you'll have the MLG doing like £100,000 tournament here and there.
Well,
and then
I think you bring up a really good point. Like, I think there certainly is a threat that too much money brings more notoriety and expectation than the actual product can deliver. I think that's a genuine, I think that's a good fear to have. But, on the other hand, I don't think I would have it any other way. I think in order for the legitimacy for esports to continue to grow and for the big attention, it does have to be these huge tournaments. Now, we're not quite there yet. I hear your point, because you're going outside of StarCraft 2 and you're saying LOL and some of these other events that are having $1 million tournaments and $7 million, I think LOL just announced. That actually might be, to your point, too much. Like, to go from $20,000 to $1 million, that's leaving a huge gap between the two, right? And there's not a lot of growth in between, so perhaps some random team wins that prize, and then the game actually develops a year later, and it becomes worthy of that kind of, you know, like the level of competition escalates to that degree. What's the prize then? $10 million? Probably not. If anything, it'll go down, right? So we saw that to a certain extent.
Has already happened in esports, for sure. I mean, in 2003 to 2006, it was not uncommon for a Brood War competition at WCG to hand out $15,000 or $20,000 to the guy that took first place.
Well, we saw that with GOM, to be quite honest with you. The first couple tournaments, $100,000. Everything after that's been half that, which is still great. Yeah. Don't get me wrong. But your point is valid. If you go too high with the prize pool, sometimes there's nowhere to go but down because you're not getting the ROI to justify that prize pool. So I think that's certainly something investors and companies need to be wary of, but it's still a good thing that it's going on. That much money involved in the community has the potential to put it in places that we otherwise wouldn't get to if prize pools were $5,000 or $10,000 or something like that.
Yeah, another thing kind of like on a side note to that is that one thing that scares me is having a bunch of different games within a genre competing with one another. I mean, we have Dota 2, League of Legends, Han. For RTS, StarCraft 2 is the predominant game. I mean, there's really no other RTSs that compare right now. And for other genres, right now there is really no FPS that's dominating the scene and generating the views necessary to have big tournaments, which sucks because FPS games are great. And the same can be said about the MOBA games. I mean, there's a bunch of different competitors right now, and nobody's really come out on top, and it kind of divides the community.
And let's be real. I mean, there is, just like you said, it is the war of the, you know, of the Dota clones here, attack of the Dota clones. And when I say that, I know people, like, think I'm talking bad about it, but no, I mean, these MOBA game types are all competing for top dog spot. And I firmly believe that many of them think that there can be only one. I'm not sure that's necessarily the case because they both have huge audiences. They are vying for market share for sure. I mean, no doubt about it. And I don't know. It'll be really interesting to see unfold. Adam, thank you for your call, dude. I appreciate it.
Thanks very much.
Thank you. And I want to just have one more follow-up question to you guys. Is there any animosity? I mean, be completely honest with me. Have you guys sat around and gone, oh my God, like, how is it possible that these games, a game that hasn't been released yet, is getting $1 million in its pocket, and here this game is obviously huge, but the prize purses have maybe not reflected like what some of these other competitions are throwing out. What any discussions you guys have in regards to that kind of thing?
I think it's kind of silly. I can't imagine them supporting it, and I haven't played the game, so I probably shouldn't say this, but everything I've heard is that especially LOL isn't a game with a skill ceiling that can support, you know, the kind of competition that deserves that, so it seems weird, but you can't really have animosity towards it. I mean, it's going to bring more attention to esports no matter what, and that's a good thing for us.
Right.
Zero animosity, about 76% jealousy.
Jealousy.
And again, to stress this point, because I really think it is valid. I think it's a really good question. I think it might be too much, and I think it could artificially inflate something that could only then go backwards, which does them more harm than good in the long run. But it has the risk to blow them up to be like the number one game ever, which is kind of cool. But the jealousy comes in that $5 million for their game?
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
They get some pretty ridiculous.
Kind of hard to look at that and be like, man, fuck you guys for your company that really, really supports you.
Right.
It's $1 million over the season, right? It's over a tour.
$5 million. The $1 million for Dota is first prize this weekend.
Oh, wow.
A team will walk away, and they will never have to play. And honestly, it's more or less paying off the guys that played Dota for the last 10 years. It's kind of like how, you know, you guys got some quote-unquote reward for all the time you put into Brood War, where these guys didn't have any of the same competitions, not necessarily the same exposure. They had huge community, but a lot of them are now being rewarded for their opportunity because they were the best of the best to now try to win this $1 million. Although it's speculated that people believe a Chinese team will probably walk away with it. I think a lot of people think that MYM, who's been around Dota for a long time, will have the opportunity. So the lull is over, I believe, the entire season.
Tell you what, it works. I have never watched a competitive LoL match. I'm going to make it my business to try to check this out. I want to see what it looks like when a nerd wins $1 million. I want to know what that looks like, man. Because that sounds fucking awesome. So,
it does.
Some serious
good for
cheddar.
Them. Good for their community. Good for esports in general. But I really hope it doesn't go backwards. And to go any further than that, I think, would be to be pessimistic. So I'm excited. I hope it works out great.
Excellent. Excellent. So let's take another caller here. We've got area code 240. No, all those guys hanging up on us here tonight. We'll go ahead and take this one there. We got area code 978. Welcome to Inside the Game.
Hey, how's it going, DJ?
It's going good, man. What's up?
Okay, so I had a question for Idra about some late game Zerg tricks that I was thinking about.
Okay.
Wanted to know his opinion about putting Nidus Worms at the back of your bases in the late-game scenarios where you're spread out all over the map defensively.
They cost 100 gas apiece. That's kind of expensive in some situations, especially since your late-game is always limited by gas. And most of the time, you'll have creep spread. It's getting to the point where Terrans and Protoss, if they're going to the late game, they're playing really turtly. They don't put a lot of pressure on you, so you should have creep connecting most of your bases, unless you go for a hidden expansion, in which case most of the time you're just accepting that if they find it, it's going to die. So in most scenarios, it's not likely to be practical. They do have a lot more offensive potential. But in some cases, it could certainly be worthwhile.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for calling. Let's take another one here. We've got Ian on the line. Ian, welcome to Inside the Game. What's up? Oh, Ian. I had so much. I had high expectation of Ian, but it didn't work out. So we're going to take Chris. Chris, welcome to Inside the Game. What's up?
Okay, so I'm going to ask Idra a question about late game TVZ. Sorry, I mean, it's kind of the same as the last one. But with that current mech plus ghost comp, how does Zerg engage that? Or is the key not to engage it and just to keep dropping and Nidusing?
If you get someone who does it properly on a map where you can split, like Shakuris or Shattered, anything where Zerg can't get an overwhelming economy, you lose. There's no way to engage it. It's absolutely overpowered. As soon as people catch on, it will be nerfed.
What exactly do you think will be, Idra, when you say, like, it just... or more or less, they'll have to take a good look at it. Is basically what you're saying?
I think they'll probably end up looking at ghosts, because ghosts are really powerful in a lot of different situations, and I think people are starting to catch on to that. So I wouldn't be surprised if they increase the gas cost of ghosts again or something like that.
All right. We just lost everyone's cam. That's totally awesome. That happens every once in a while on with Skype. So, did that answer your question, caller?
Yes, it did. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for your call. Dude, no we problem. Got the quad noodle going on right now. Do you guys see your cams anymore?
I hit the cam button. Yeah, I see myself.
Yeah, I'm like, it's not... It's
yeah,
not,
I can see myself, too.
I look good, too.
Hit the cam button and then turn it back on.
Yep.
To see if it... Does it... It doesn't do anything? All right, well, I guess we'll just do noodle for the rest of the show. I just showed you my webcam.
Oh, no!
You see?
Whoa!
You missed it, didn't you?
What happened earlier? You didn't have a webcam.
Well, see, now that we're all noodled,
okay.
And I can move it up, and then mm-hmm. I can actually, without interrupting the show...
Well, let's see it.
It's showing right now.
I can't see it.
We can't see,
see
it.
I can't
shit.
See yours. It's totally
well, hang on.
Jacked.
Let me open up the stream. Cause,
No. It's not on the stream, dude. Trust me. I was giving you a little look. I don't know. Every once in a while, Skype's video will just go down, and I can see mine too, but it's not sending video. A group video is unavailable. Please try later. Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot. That's cool.
Damn
we're just,
you,
we're
Skype.
Just four Chinese girls hanging out. We'll just take a couple more calls here. We're nearing the end of the show. Let's take this one. We've got Joe on the line. Joe, welcome to Inside the Game. Watch out.
Okay, Joe. We'll just take a couple more calls here.
Joe, I feel like I'm like 20 seconds in the past, man.
Take this one. We've got Joe on the line. Joe, welcome.
Joe Ferris, the one who's listening right
hello?
Now.
Hello. Sorry.
Yeah.
Shame.
Yeah. Hey.
Joe. Sorry, I'm like...
Are you freaking out right now?
My question is, I know Idric complained a lot, like, I totally agree with him, he complained a lot about, like, the efficiency with PVZ, and I want to know what he thinks that Blizzard can do to fix that, the efficiency problem that Zerg has in late game. He complained a lot about, the efficiency?
Well... I don't know. Zerg needs to be better late game in some way. Anti-air, I think, is a big problem because you have to depend on infestors, which have weaknesses to feedback and EMP, and they're just kind of fragile in general. So that's a big problem. And then just mobility, because both Broodlords and Ultras. Broodlords are just incredibly slow, and Ultras are not particularly fast, and they're so clunky that it's hard to have any kind of mobility. And Zerg is supposed to be the mobile race. Like, our units aren't supposed to necessarily win a straight-up fight, but if they can't do that, they do need to run around and be annoying and, you know, win in that style. So... I would say mobility and possibly better anti-air.
All right. And take our next caller here. We've got area code 541. Welcome to Inside the Game. What's up? How can you be on the phone, dialing in, and not just immediately have a response when we say hello? Pain user, do you have an answer to this? Do you ever call anyone pain user, like your mom? And then you put the phone down after, you know, and your mom's like, pain user? Hello?
I actually every night from about 9 p.m. to 12 a.m. just call up. Like, I look up girl names in the phone book and...
I don't get it.
I just call them to breathe. You know what I mean? Like, I just call them up and just... I feel like if they can hear me breathing, they know my masculinity.
They're
you know
about
what I mean?
To die? Oh, my God. I'm about to die. All right, we'll take this one as a replacement. We got... Area code 760. Hello, welcome to Inside the Game.
I can feel your floors.
Hello. You trust me, you've called the right place. We're just, yeah. What's up?
I kind of have a question for Adra about against some Zerg stuff. I watch all his games, or as many as I can, and he's not really that big into infestors, as I noticed. Like, I watch a lot of Destiny stuff. Destiny kind of uses all his gas for infestors. Versus Adrian, who kind of uses less gas. What are your thoughts on that?
I go almost purely Mass Infestor style ZVP right now, and CVT, I just think Muta into Broodlord Infestor is better. Mutas allow you to control the mid-game. And really, if you get Terrans who are comfortable with abusing the Infestor style, they'll either play good timings and really aggressive with good control, or they can just turtle up and play ghost heavy, and you just don't get any value out of the Infestors. You can't put any pressure on them. So the Infestor style is kind of gimmicky ZVT, but CVP Infestor-based stuff is all I do right now.
There you go. All right, thank you, caller. We're going to knock through them quick because I want to try to get a couple more in. Man, just so many calls. Let's try this one right here. We've got There we go. We've got Miller on the line. Miller, hello. Welcome to Inside the Game.
Hey. Wait, can you hear me?
Yes, Miller. I can hear you fine.
All right. It says I have an internet problem.
Well, that's okay. We all have internet problems.
All right. Well, I have a question for Control and Adra.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead, Miller.
You guys are awesome.
Okay, that wasn't a question. That more appropriately would be, why are you guys so awesome?
That might have been one of Miniwheat's classmates.
Oh, man. Might have. He's like, well, my buddy in kindergarten was telling me about his dad at these shows. And no, Miller, you keep on keeping on. I agree with you. These guys are awesome. Let's take our last caller of the night. You know who it is. It's the one, the only Inside the Game's Goat List. What's up, buddy?
Get lost.
Oh, yeah? Yeah, not a lot, mate. How are you guys feeling?
Pretty good, man. Better now that you're here.
Honestly, my honest answer is I feel like shit. I can't wait to go to sleep. But, yeah, you're going to close out the show for us, as always. So, thank you.
Oh, yeah? Yeah. How competitive do you guys think you'll be able to be? I mean, things have certainly changed a little bit since you were there, Idra, over in South Korea, when you were practicing on your own and whatnot. And I'm just wondering how you think you're going to, you know, stay competitive with just Puma, yourself, and Huck there, you know, when there's teams like Slayers, you know, with a whole bigger, well-rounded lineup where they're sort of, you know, churning out strategies and they're, you know, they've got a few more people to bounce ideas off, like, you know, just in the general area. I know you've got your teammates in America, but do you think it's going to affect your ability to, you know, keep up with the strategies and whatnot?
Well, I was maintaining Code S, and I finished getting, or my last GSL, I got top 8, despite the fact that I had essentially zero practice partners. So having Huck and Puma is actually going to be a significantly better situation for me, and it's not like we'll be unable to practice with Koreans. Huck, obviously, is still friends with all the OGS guys he lived with. And Puma, he was a StarCraft 1 B teamer. He knows a lot of the good players and the ones who are like going to be the good players because they've just started playing StarCraft 2. So, no, it's going to be a far better practice situation for me than it was while I was there on my own. And it's questionable if it'll be better or not for Huck. We'll just have to see what kind of practice environment we end up in. But I would have no worries about us being able to be competitive.
There you have it.
Sounds good. And what do you guys think, you know, looking back on that famous sort of post a long while ago, you know, Huck saying, I want to be, you know, the next Limyo Huan. I'm probably butchering the name, but yeah, you know, back then.
Anything you
I
say
think
can't be butchered.
I just had a chuckle.
Why do you think he's, like, following, you know? I mean, do you think he's sort of reaching his dream one step at a time?
Yeah, well, I don't know. He's made a name for himself. Now, I think a lot of people, you know, laughed back then, myself, and I think Idra had a snide comment in the thread back then, but, you know, he really showed everyone, including me.
Well, let me say this. I was one of the guys that actually laughed at that original statement. And Huck, I can't remember if he told me on State of the Game or in the thread, or maybe it was another interview, and my ego's making it sound like I was a part of it, like I like photoshopped myself in the background of like a Facebook picture of the guy and a girl. But he actually said, you know what? If you don't think I can be as good as Boxer, I don't give a shit, because I'm going to try as hard as I can to be that good and to get to that level. And when he said that, that was one of the times where I was like, holy shit. My perspective was completely wrong and I'm an idiot. Like, that's fucking awesome. We should hope that everyone tries to do that kind of stuff. So, the thing about that statement, I don't think anyone ever can be another boxer. Perhaps I'll be wrong about that someday too, but that's a lofty thing to say. But major props to Huck for trying to do that way back when, and look how far he's come trying to do that, and I think it's pretty awesome.
He's always tried super hard. I remember even back in the beta days when he was on VT with me, and he would play in all the weekly cups and, you know, take like first, second, over and over and over again. That's kind of how he like first made his name for himself. He would freak out if he just took like a silver in one of the $100 weeklies, and he'd come on vent and just like be upset about it, you know? And we would all be like, dude, it's not that big of a deal. Don't even worry about it. But he definitely has a pretty serious conviction, and he acts on it. So I think the sky's the limit for Huck, and he's certainly putting in the time and the effort. So whether his natural talent is there on the level of Lim Yohan, who probably was one of the most creative players of all time, I don't know. But, I mean, we'll have to see. But he's definitely got a long way to go, because I definitely wouldn't throw Bourgeois status around in StarCraft II yet for a long time.
Yep. All right.
He certainly progressed beyond the four gate. I mean, we know that now.
Absolutely.
A little bit. Goatless, thank you for your call, dude. I appreciate it.
Yep.
All right.
Yep. Pumped for Idra in Korea. Good luck, man.
Thanks, sir. It's just happy because he's going to be closer to you, I think.
Got some major news just rolled down the wheel.
Are you about to drop the Drooby bomb
on me? Drooby to Korea.
I think we should go to Idra with his thoughts. Thanks, Greg, for that quote. Sweet, what do you think?
Greg's like dying.
JP told me about that like 10 minutes ago, and I was trying to hold it in. I can't believe that.
Why?
JP told me 11 minutes ago, so.
Drooby's going.
No big deal.
Dude, JP told me last night after he gave me a kiss on my cheek. So.
You think you're so good.
Well, the.
Joke's on him. He's now sick, too.
Exactly.
Tread lightly, fellas, because you tread on Drooby's dreams.
Yeah, that's not. I mean, you know, everyone deserves a chance to go over there. It's like, you know. I understand. It's
well
it's
said. We ever. What the fuck? I'm sorry. No fluff, real quick.
Oh,
that was the.
What? It's true.
Everyone deserves the right to go over there.
Yeah.
As if the
go
question
over there
was whether or not people should be allowed to travel to Korea.
Well, I mean, I'm assuming from Idris' chuckle that he thinks that, you know, Drooby's going to get eaten alive over there.
Is but
that
he
you, might, you might say that.
Is that accurate? So, to my point is like, okay, maybe, but I don't think that should necessarily stop anyone from going over there.
No, it shouldn't. Yeah. I agree with you. I agree with you so much that I thought it was funny. Like,
well, hey, everyone can win in StarCraft II.
I want to see a.
And yet, Drooby manages to fuck it up. That's the amazing part.
You know the game Kingdom Hearts?
Of course.
What's the evil place? Like where their twins come from or shit? You know what I mean? Everyone has like a dark clone.
Yeah. But now
I want to see the dark clone Wheat, who's like, Drooby's going to Korea? He doesn't have a right. There's no right for him to go.
It's called Slasher, actually.
Oh, yeah, shit.
I think it's Slasher.
Right. You're right.
Yeah.
He is your opposite. Single, bad hair, doesn't actually do anything.
Exactly, see? I've got a question then.
I'm just kidding.
Who do you think Complexity should send? If you were Jason Lake, if you were heading Complexity, you had your whole roster to choose from.
Here's the thing, okay? Like, this is a fun question, but we have to put it in the proper context. Like, there's actually so much involved in going to Korea that it's not fair for us to look in on Complexity and be like, I have the answer for who you should actually send because it's based purely on results and, like, who's better. It could be that Drooby's in a place in his life where he can't uplift and go to Korea for a month.
Yeah, totally.
It could be a thing where internally Complexity is extremely floored with Drooby's results because maybe in practice he is the best player for them. So, just as long as we've got that proper context, then I'm cool with moving. Because I don't want to be the guys that are like, you know, Cruncher's better than Drooby. He should go, and they're dumb for doing that. Like, we don't know.
I hear you. And I agree.
Excuse me. Well, then I guess that kind of deflates this next announcement that I was supposed to make, and that's that VP Pain User is going over to Korea, but...
Boom!
I guess... Would you like to?
Tell the whole story. Tell the whole story. It's so that he could set the record for the tallest person in that country.
Dude, I wonder what people would look at me like on like the Korean subway.
I'll show you what they would look at.
You wouldn't fit
a little bit much. Yeah, are the trains even like...
They'd be getting mad at you because you'd be blocking the LCD televisions that are in the subway. They'd just
be like, hello, little people. My name's Pain User. Would you like to see what it's like in the heavens? And he, like, lifts them up.
Oh, wow.
Sierra. Wow. God, Sierra.
All right. Let's do our final thoughts. We're going to start with you, Pain User. Final thoughts here for episode 12, Inside the Game.
Some good hilarity on the show tonight. Greg, I couldn't see your face, but that giggle just got me deep inside. I was cracking
up. It was building up for a while. I had to let it.
Yeah, other than that, you guys can check me out on Twitter at PainUser or twitter.com/PainUser. Big shout-outs to VP, my team. They've been supporting me for a little while. And everybody stay tuned for IPL3 Atlantic City. I hope everybody's really excited about that. I know I am, and we will have more announcements to come. We talked about that a little bit earlier on the show. I don't know if everybody caught it, but IGN is doing a $100,000 tournament in Atlantic City, so... Stay posted on that. We got a lot more coming up, and that's it. Thanks for being on the show, guys. Thanks for hosting.
Do my best to qualify. I'm checking the dates, making my list.
Get on that, dude. Get on that. In fact, get on that.
Oh, I felt like he was going to drop something.
No.
Someone pointed at Pain User with like the evil death look. It was the monkey from Family Guy. He's like, oh, wait, I can't say that. So.
Well,
oh, that's right. There's no video. I'm doing so many good funny faces right now. Damn it.
Oh, I know. There's only one funny face.
Man.
I'm sorry, bro.
If it weren't for the fact that Scoots were killing esports, I would have a severe suspicion that it's actually you right now. Like, if I wasn't completely concerned that it's actually Sir Scoots who's murdering esports right now, I could make a strong case for you.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate that. Idri, your closing thoughts on tonight's Inside the Game, sir?
I'd like to thank everyone for watching and request that everyone stop asking me about Huck joining.
Good luck with that request.
Yeah. We had to try. And thank you to EG and all of our sponsors, Intel SteelSeries, Monster.